Once again, in the help of the Lord, we'll turn to the Epistle of James, chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. The Epistle of James, chapter 5, the 10th and the 11th verses. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. The Epistle of James, chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. The Apostle James is exhorting, under the inspiration, of course, of the Holy Spirit, he's exhorting us to be patient. In that seventh verse, he says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain." So you see, dear friends, and the husbandman is brought not only to be patient for the rain, but to be patient on the Lord's provision in providing that rain. Dear friends, how we need that patience, whether it is in a way of providence, or whether it is in a spiritual way. And then he says, but be ye also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Then he brings us and to consider the prophets. Those holy prophets of old that prophesied in the name of a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he says, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example. You see, dear friends, we are not left without examples in the precious word of truth. But, dear friends, how much need you and I have need of the great grace of God to follow those examples, and especially of sufferings and affliction and of patience, for what we know in the latter end of the epistle to the Hebrews, the Apostle Paul speaks of these brethren in respect unto their sufferings, affliction, and of patience, because he says this: women receive their dead raised again to life, and others were tortured and not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, and were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, but that God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, dear James, he says, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example. Now, do not think that I've set this word before us this evening to belittle your sufferings and afflictions and patience. It is that sometimes, and we need to be reminded of what the Lord had put in His precious word of truth, and we know that there have been those times perhaps when we've been in great trouble or affliction or suffering in a variety of ways, and we perhaps haven't said this audibly, but we have said there's nobody that walked such a path of suffering, affliction, and of patience as myself. But my dear friends, look at the vast difference. I'm not going to read it again, and undoubtedly some of you at least are familiar how the dear Apostle Paul ends that wonderful chapter, the 11th in the Epistle to Hebrews, where he continues and says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You see, sometimes we get overcharged with our own concerns and think there's no one had so much trouble and affliction than ourselves. But dear friends, may we be brought to seek for grace that we may run, as the dear Apostle Paul tells us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. But that's not all. There is something vital, there's something essential in running our race with patience. He carries on and says this, looking unto Jesus. You shan't go wrong there, my dear friends. We may go wrong in so many other ways, but we shall never go wrong if we desire to run our little race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, where he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What an unspeakable mercy, dear friends. Oh, may we pray more and more and for grace to follow what the word says, my dear friends. Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Now, I don't intend to dwell any longer on that 10th verse, but I think there is a connection between the 10th and the 11th verses here. Then he says, behold, is something, my dear friends, for you and I to behold. You know, there are many times in the Word of God where we read this word, behold. And I think when we come across this word in our private reading of the Scripture, we should hold, if it is only for a very short time. be in it, because the Lord is directing his dear people in every age to something which undoubtedly eventually will be made profitable and for the good of their never dying soul, that they may see more and more of that wonder, wonderful work of salvation. Now he says, behold, we count them happy which endure. Dear friends, you know what the Lord said while he was here upon this earth. I perhaps can't quote it just exactly right, but it's in the Gospel of Matthew, I believe, and also Mark. It says all those that will endure to the end, they shall be saved. You see, it's nothing trifling, my dear friend. It's something to behold, and it's something to attend by prayer and supplication, that we may be helped by the dear Lord and by his good spirit to endure. We know not, dear friends, the sufferings and the privations and the persecutions and the afflictions of the body. What we know not what is before us. But what we do know is this: we count them happy, and which endure. That means as I view it, that whatever the case is, and I'm not saying this lightly, because we know we need much grace. Because if there is something difficult, if there's something that is troublesome, if there's an affliction of the body and many other things that come in our life, perhaps the first thing that we get irksome, my dear friends, and we may even pray and that the dear Lord would remove those things. But you know, the thing that I want particularly to bring before you in a few moments is this, and we have seen the end of the Lord. Now, in those afflictions, in those tribulations, and in all those sorrows that we just spoke very briefly of this morning, we know this, that the Lord hath a design in them for the good and the profit of our never dying souls when the Holy Spirit sanctifies these things unto us. And so James would exhort us and to count them happy which endure. Dear friends, and to endure, you know, sometimes, and perhaps there are those that are before me, even this evening, and there are those doubts sometimes that come into our sinful minds and hearts. I wonder whether I shall ever endure unto the end. The temptations and the insinuations of the adversary, also the workings of our sinful, deceitful heart, they seem sometimes to overwhelm us, and those secret sins, my dear friend, those sins that no one else knows about but yourself. You see, the very it's tried me so often where the word says the very thought of foolishness is sin. And you know, some of us, we have a foolish nature, and it erupts, my dear friends, and you know there are those times when we feel, shall such a sinner as ourselves, shall we ever endure unto the end? Well, dear friends, we know this: It must be all of God's grace, all of His help, all of His presence, all that He hath set before us in His precious word, and we desire in our right mind to give Him all the honour, all the praise, and all the glory. And so He says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." Then he brings, as it were, an example before us. He says, and undoubtedly we can say this here this evening, ye have heard of the patience of Job. Well, we know how the dear Lord he spoke to that angel concerning, and he permitted Job to come into some very serious and some great situations. Because we know this, that there was one trouble and followed another trouble, and they were not small troubles. His family, it seems as though they was all taken from him, and their houses and all that they possessed. Now, not only that, my dear friends, but we know he was afflicted in his body. And dear friends, those afflictions in the body, of course, they come very close to us. But what I want to come to is this. You have heard of the patience of Job. What did Job say in these things? Well, we can read it from in that first chapter in Job. He says, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. You know how easily, my dear friends, if we had but a very little touch of what dear Job had to endure, and if we was left to ourselves, I believe, I can only speak of what I may, if I was left to it, I would charge God foolishly, and what an awful thing that would be. But in all this, Job sinned not. Well, dear friend, it may put some of us to shame, but dear friends, it's a wonderful thing if it brings us in that way whereby we have to seek and for repentance and walk humbly before the dear Lord, trusting in His grace that we shall be forgiven. Now He says, "You have heard of the patience of Job, and ye have seen the end of the Lord." Now this is that what I more particularly want to speak as enable to you this evening, because you see, and when this soul comes into that trouble, and they need that patience, we know what the end of the Lord was concerning Job, because in that 42nd chapter of Job, where we read in that in that 10th verse, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. He was one of the very richest men in the East, so we understand, and he had lost almost everything, if not quite. And now the Lord said he gave Job twice as much as he had before. And then you can read, of course, and you know it perhaps, that last chapter in Job, how the Lord blessed him. Now, dear friends, what I just want to put before you and to put before myself is this. The Lord had in his divine appointments that most wondrous end, and although Job, of course, when he was in those trials, when he was in those losses, those crosses, when he cried unto the dear Lord, I know not the way that I take, but I know that I shall come forth as gold. And he said in another place, I know that my Redeemer liveth and shall stand at the last day upon this earth, and these very eyes, they shall see him. We can see how dear Job was supported and helped. But the very end of these things, what was for the good and the profit of dear Job, and also for the good of his never dying soul. You see, you and I, when we enter into these troubles and these afflictions and these tribulations and temptations, we cannot see the end design of the dear Lord. The Lord knows, my dear friends, you know, they're the most beautiful word that very often comes into my mind in the epistle of Romans, where he says, all these things shall work together for our good to those that love the Lord. Now, and when we are in that trial, when we are in that temptation, when we are in that difficulty, we cannot see these things, but the Lord has his eye upon all his dear children, and his design project can never fail, my dear friend. And that design project is for the blessing of their never dying souls. And so dear James, he says, and I've seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But there's something, my dear friends, before I leave, that I want to put before myself and before you each, if it is the Lord's will. I want to just mention, and I believe we can look at this in the way of the dear Lord Jesus. Now, of course, we know that he knew the end of his coming into this world. He knew the end of all those reproaches and all that he had to suffer while he was here below. He knew the end of these things, and we know this. That end, as of course, what we have read in the Hebrews, and where he says that he delighted in those things, whereby he says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. Now you see, the dear Lord knew the end of these things. We didn't know. We know that the dear Lord took that wonderful engagement that he engaged by the Father's will, to come into this earth to suffer, bleed, and die, and also, my dear friends, to take away the sins of all his dear people. Now, that end of the Lord, I believe, was a great joy unto the dear Lord Jesus. Now, of course, you and I, as creatures of this earth, without that foresight that the dear Lord had, and we cannot see the end of that affliction, that trouble, that trial, or that temptation. We are pressed underneath it, and it may be, dear friends, as we were saying this morning, and we sowed in tears, but also we saw also that soul will reap in joy, whereby, and they will be shown, dear friend, I feel certain of this, they will be shown how the dear Lord, he who knew no sin, was made sin for on behalf of all his dear people, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, dear friend, in that trial, in that dispensation that the Lord has seen fit to bring upon his dear people, and from time to time, and they are wrapped up with those present things. And of course, those present things, as we just briefly said this morning, those present things are but temporal. It is those things that we cannot see are eternal, and the eternal decrees and the provision that the dear Lord hath made on behalf of all his dear people, he became sin for them, and he knew no sin. He was ever holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Now, that is the end of the Lord in the salvation of all his dear people, where the dear Lord at last, he when they nailed him on the cross, and the soldier pierced his side, and forthwith there came out blood and water. The end of these things, dear friends, as revealed in the precious scriptures, and they are to take away the sins of all his dear people, and not only to take them away, but also if the power that they could never be resurrected again. Oh, dear friends, it's the wonder of wonders to my poor little understanding that the dear Lord saw the end of these things in that he made an end of sin, as Daniel had that prophecy, and he brought in an everlasting righteousness by his perfect obedience. He saw the end of those things. And now I just want to come to the resurrection, my dear friends, that glorious resurrection, whereby the Lord spoke unto his dear disciples that on the third day he should rise triumphant over sin, death, and hell as the glorious head of all his dear people. And if the glorious head has been triumphant and victorious, so are all those mystical members that form his mystical body. It was the end of the Lord in the salvation of all his dear people, and that is shown forth, and to count them happy which endure. What is there, my dear friends, and to discount us enduring when we think of what the dear Lord had to endure on behalf of his dear people? I was speaking to a dear friend up their home, only a few days ago. I'm not mentioning any names. And she had some trouble in the night. And she said, I don't like ringing the bell, but she said, I had to ring the bell because I was in such pain. And of course she rung the bell, and of course there was someone come to her aid, and she put that which was paining her, and she done that where she relieved the pain, and also. And the nurse who came to her says, now I go make you a cup of hot milk. And she said, I feel that will soothe you, and you will soon fall fast asleep. And so I said, I expect you did. She said, I didn't. Oh, I said, why was that? Well, she said, my mind and was brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. When he said, I thirst. And what did they offer him when he said, I thirst? They offered him bitter vinegar. And there is me, an unworthy, guilty, lost and undone sinner. I've had a cup of hot. I know these things, my dear friend, but it's a wonderful thing because she had a wonderful view of the sufferings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because she said, what a vast difference there was between a hot cup of milk and that bitter vinegar that they gave my Lord to drink when he said, I thirst. Well, that's just a little introduction, my dear friend, in this whereby we can see the end of the Lord, where he suffered, bled, and stood in our room, place, and stead, and for the wrath of God to fall upon him, whereby there was that sacrifice for sin, and that blood that was shed to cleanse us from all our uncleanness. Dear friend, the end of that, the end of the Lord was so wondrous and so miraculous, and I do trust my dear friends that we may know more and more of it. But that is not all. I started to speak to you of that glorious resurrection where he took his disciples up to the Mount Olivet. And while he was there, I'd be brief, and that he was taken out of their sight, and he entered into heaven as his dear people's glorious head of the church. Now, dear friends, the end of these things. The end of these things is not only, I don't speak it lightly, and I wish I could find a better word than saying not only did he put away all our sins, all our unrighteousnesses, but he also, my dear friend, he rose triumphant, and those mystical members, when he entered into eternal glory, and they were all in that mystical body. And so, what safety and security there is, and for God's dear people, because in the mind of Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they're all in heaven at this very moment, although there are many still upon the earth. Now, look at the certainty of that great work of salvation. And not only that, as you know, he sat at the right hand of the throne of God, there to intercede on our behalf, our glorious interceding high priest. The end of the Lord in that way whereby he sent forth his son knew the end of these things, and of course in the experience of God's dear people, they are brought savingly acquainted with all their troubles, all their trials, and the end of them will be the salvation of their never dying soul. And not only is he that interceding high priest, but he takes the case and the cause of all his dear people in his most gracious hand, and he presents them in his merits. Not in the church's merits, because the church has merits, but those merits, they flow alone from the Lord Jesus Christ, and he presents those merits unto the Father, and he is an ever interceding high priest, and for all the troubles and the afflictions, the temptations, and all the sad events that we may have to go through, and the end of these things is to show his dear people what he hath done. And of course, I feel certain of this. These are the very small beginnings. What if we are amongst that people that shall ascend into heaven and to be with him for a long eternity? These things will be made known to us in a most greater and more illustrious way than ever we shall know them this side of the grave. But we only can speak of the end of the Lord in the case of Job, whereby he profited him twice as much. Well, of course, that poor soul will be benefited more than twice. Job, we could not measure how greater he would profit in respect unto the end of the things of the dear Lord. Well, you have seen the end of the Lord, but he comes to this wonderful thing, which I trust that all those that are enduring. Those things, and they are praying for the stability, and that they may not fail, that the Lord will uphold them and keep them and preserve them from doing anything that will incur his just displeasure, that they may endure. And we shall endure only by the strength of the dear Lord, the power of the Lord, that power, my dear friend, which we can't even begin to comprehend, will enable that soul to come to the end of those things victorious in Christ Jesus as their glorious head. But now he would have us also for the state in which we are in at this very moment. He tells us this, that the Lord is very pitiful. Oh dear friends, the wonderful pity that the dear Lord makes known unto his dear people. That pity and that he shows, he pities my dear friends our weaknesses. He pities us because he knows what poor things we are, and he strengthens us. He strengthens that little faith, and he strengthens that hope, and he strengthens that love to toward him, because he is very pitiful. He pities, my dear friend, and he comes into that places where they are, and he makes his presence known. Do you not know something, dear friends, of a trial or a certain and circumstance that has entered into your life. It may be when you were tried and exercised concerning the forgiveness of all your sins and all your transgressions, and you wonder how the dear Lord can be so pitiful toward you, knowing this, that if he shows his pity today, we shall fall into sin the next day or even earlier than that. But the Lord is still pitiful unto his dear. He showed his pity in that glorious work of redemption. He showed his pity when he suffered, bled and died. He showed his pity when he made himself known as their Redeemer, and he pities, my dear friends, all those things that are a trial unto us, because the Lord is very pitiful. I love this word. He's not pitiful, but he's very pitiful. And do we not know something of his pity and his compassion? He had compassion on the multitude while he was here, for they was as sheep having no shepherd. He pitied his dear people in all their distresses. He pities them in all those circumstances which you may feel will be the end of all things. He pities them that at the ends of the earth. You know how he says, "Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and for I am thy Redeemer, the Redeemer of the lost, of Adam's posterity, who've been brought to see their lost condition." He pities them, my dear friend, and he bears a part in them, in that way whereby he comes and makes himself known as that pitiful Saviour of our never dying souls, and he puts, as it were, his arms underneath, and he pleads those promises that are recorded in his precious word of truth. And not only is he very pitiful, but of tender mercy. All the tender mercy of the Lord. That tender mercy whereby we thought and that he would cast us away forever. But he showed us there's mercy to be found in the dear Lord Jesus. And that mercy, my dear friend, touches the cases of all his dear people. Now, how thankful we should and we ought to be, and for the Lord is very pitiful. You may feel, as I felt sometimes, that I am alone, like a sparrow. The psalmist felt that he was alone, as a sparrow upon the housetop. But dear friends, and we've overlooked this wonderful word, and that the Lord hath left for the help and the comfort and the benefit of all his dear people, the Lord is very pitiful and of tender. That tender mercy, dear friend, that he makes known unto his dear people, where he says, I know all about you, all those sins that you have committed against a good, kind, the most gracious God, and you feel that the weight of them will cast you into eternal perdition. But there is mercy to be found in the dear Lord, whereby he shows his merciful power unto all his dear people, and they shall at last sing throughout an endless eternity of his pity and of his tender mercy. Well, undoubtedly, you will forget, so will I, and some of those things I tried, by the help of God to put before you this afternoon and evening. But may the dear Lord, as it were, seal these this on our poor hearts, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Because if we walk in the value and the preciousness of these words, we shall walk humbly with our Lord, and we shall embrace him for all that we trust he has done for our never dying souls, and we shall from time to time look forward whereby we shall praise him constantly and continually in a never ending eternity, to praise the dear Lord for what he has made known in his glorious attributes, whereby he is the Lord. He is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But there I must leave it. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.